Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother, Miraj Muhammad, live on conference call. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to do so, brothers and sisters. For one don't understand that timing is everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go by the clock that we go by, but timing is everything with us, even with man's clock. If you go to the bank 1 minute after three and it closes at three, you're not going to get in. So you're not able to pick up the money that you chose to get for today. If you're catching a train, I don't care, you can be running as fast you want to go down, jump downstairs. If you ain't on time,
Belinda,
you can catch a train. You can try to catch a plane, and you get to the gate, the plane took off. What? You was not on time. You can make love to your wife. If it ain't the right time for you to be able to get inside that egg, it just dies. You're not on time. Ray Robinson told me, I said, why you knock so many people out? He says, timing. And I had to think about that. Timing. What do you time? That 10. Because if the opponent drops his 10, you don't hit him on the 10. That's the only thing that can knock him out. It's the 10. But you got to time the 10. Muhammad Ali say, throw the jab, he's going to drop his hand, but he don't know the right hand coming right behind it. You out. So timing is important, brothers and sisters. But we don't know what time it is. Some of us don't care about time. We don't care about being on time. But if you understand that if you just put in your mind that timing means everything, you got to know when to talk to your children, man. Why? Because you can be very rough. It's not the time to spank them. It's not the time to holler at them. You're going to scare them. You have to be on time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and he says, leave the children to the woman. So the children will come to the husband and say, Dad, can you tell mommy to let me do such and such? Did you ask your mother? Yes. Well, she say, no, it is. Is it? You're not going to overrule that female? Because she knows why she's doing what she's doing. And if you did something bad, we men can't spank them. Why? Because our hands are rough. And if you're emotional, it's going to be too hard. So you just abuse your child unconsciously. So you go get the wife. She will never unconsciously hurt her baby. That's her baby. And those mothers love those babies. They're gifted with that. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave the children with the mother. But once that child becomes nine, why nine, Marah? Because when you're in the womb of your mother, it takes 9 months for birth. Well, you're still in the womb of the mother. She have your mindset, and she instills in that mind, and she controls that mind. But at nine, you have just came into reality. You're on your own in the way of thinking, not in maintaining you. In your thinking, give it to the man. Why the man? Because the man's going to teach that child the stability in life and how to deal with the world, because the man goes out to the world. Mama don't go out there. Most mothers are maintained by the husband. Now, you got exception to the rule. You have women that have degrees and can be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, entrepreneur, and make more money than the man. But that's the exception to the rule. Just like there's some women can have 10 babies. There's some women can have 14 babies. There's some women can have 16 like my grandma, but there's some can only have one. Can only have one. So we're not talking about the exception to the rule. The rule is every woman can bear a child. Exception to that rule is some that don't want it, and there is some that can't bear a child. You see, all these things educate you and make you understand that why is it God will allow some women to have children, some don't, because no child comes in that womb unless Allah sends the angels and say, okay, let that sperm go in. And those life sperms that shoots there, it's millions, brothers and sisters. Just think of it. Millions. But only one gets in. But he has to fight for it. He just, what? Life germ. He got to fight. He got to fight. He got to fight. He beats them all out. Whoa, he's in there. What happened to the rest of them? They all die. Isn't it amazing? If you just study the internal organs of the human being, you will see life for itself. Because Allah is trying to show us. So that woman is important. So I decide to start off before y'all question me about things that comes on your mind. Why did Allah create the woman? The other half of a man. So that alone should tell you, if she's our other half and you are not married, you are not married, brothers and sisters, you are half a man. You are, there's no question, you can stand on your head, you are half a man. Now, there are men will tell you, and likewise with women, I can't find me the right woman. Oh, yeah? There are men will tell you that. And there's women say, I cannot find the right man. Oh, yeah? But the problem you both have is that most of you all think that some third party has to say you married. Isn't that something? That you need a third party to consummate your marriage. Brothers and sisters, that is just a ritual that you go through. But if you understood what God is saying, because consummation of marriage is not a piece of paper. It's not a piece of paper. It's when that man entering to that female, he just consummated his wife. But because of society, we ignore it, our morals. We ignore our morals. We don't have no morals. We're going to run through this one. 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 So Allah said, don't bring me no piece of paper. Did you enter into that female? The Quran says, if in fact you do, you have just consummated a marriage. You ignore Allah. And this is why you walk around with no husband. You walk around with no wife. But you can't fool Allah because nature takes its course. And some people get afraid of toys. And some people get afraid of using their hands. It's not normal. For Allah says, treat that woman of the community like a wife from the neck up. Who is you, brother? Who is you? I'm her husband. Who is she? My right hand possessed. Not my physical hand. The hand in which is right for your moral, right for your character, right for your conscience, your taqwa. That's the right Allah is talking about. So you cannot touch that woman. But if you do, sister, you don't understand, that's your husband, whether you like it or not. But because of Satan says, okay, go get another one. Let him enter into you. Go get another one. Let him enter you. Go get another one. Let him enter. Before you know, you stop counting. He's got some that says, well, I did get married, but he wasn't no good. Get another one. Well, he wasn't no good. Get another one. Well, he wasn't. Be like Elizabeth Taylor. Go until you get one that you love. And she did. And that last one ended up being the seventh one. He was the sixth and the seventh because she got rid of him at six. For some reason, he came back and she died. He died marrying to her. So all of these are metaphors to tell you that we are off the course. If, in fact, you want to go 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, brother, with no sex, I don't think so. Well, you can be on an island. There's no women but one woman. Boy, is she ugly. But you can't get off that island. You've been on there for a year. You went a year without having sex. All of a sudden, something about her eyelashes got you. Her smile got you. That's all you got. So Nathan said, hey, close your eyes and think around the world. But I bet you got to have that woman. I don't care how ugly she is. Now, that's just a metaphor to wake you up, to make you understand that if you would go with the nature, you would get married right away. You know what I tell my wife? I said, Donnie, if you're young enough to bear a child and I pass away, now I'm not dead. I'm moving on. It's a long going to the hereafter. But if you wait at least 90 days, for what, dear? Make sure you ain't pregnant with my baby. Because if you do that and you marry a Islamic brother, if you marry a brother in El Islam, he has to take care of that baby, and you might not even tell him it's my baby. So Allah, clear that one up. Do not. Three, how about four? Now you know you're pregnant with my child because I pregnated you before I die. That's the law. But if, in fact, you can't have no more eggs, you don't have to wait no 3 months. What is this, a ritual? Whose time you talking about? Our last time or your time? And you lonely? Well, I'm in love with my husband. Yes, but he's gone. In this world, he's dead, but I love him. But you have to survive. And you have to survive with who? Satan. So let me educate you. When you pass away, you will know nothing about this world. And that man, that last husband, unless he does something spectacular, you will only know him in the hereafter if it's in your heart. Well, we don't know what's in your heart. And my God, you don't know what's in your heart. But Allah judges the heart. He knows that your heart says you want the first husband. Allah judges the heart and knows you want the third husband. Or Allah knows in your heart that last husband is who you want. So when you come in here after, that's who you will see. So you will see your mother, you see your father, you will see all the people that you love because they're in your heart. But how are they going to know you? Because you're in their heart. Because you're not going to look like you look here. Why would Allah need that old dirt? Yes, emphasis on the old dirt. The dirt that got old, the physical dirt. when you look in that mirror, that's dirt, brother. That's dirt, sister. And it got to go back where it came from. Where? The earth. So who are you? You're the spirit. Wow. You know how great the spirit is? So the spirit don't die. It evolves. And Allah gives it a new look. So all the women be looking in the Quran and seeing this gorgeous woman in their mind with beautiful milky skin and pearly eyes, bright as day, lovely skin, tall. I don't look like that. Fool, he ain't talking about this world. Allah makes everything new. No sickness, no hatred, no jealousy. You don't have to reflect back on everything you did wrong. It's gone. Isn't that a beautiful world? So most people want to commit suicide to leave it. Allah said, no, that's a sin. You must work trial and error. You must work, go through difficulties. You must accept that Allah said you have to prove yourself to make it there. So I will test you with everything that you love. So this is how important, brothers, the woman is. And there's billions of them. So how in the world you can't find one? I can tell you why. Because some are looking for something that will never happen. Likewise with the female, with white sheet on a white horse and look like a king or just come and swept them off the feet. Yeah, you can go for all that spooky stuff you want to. Well, I was asked the question, well, Moran, how do you find your husband? You can hear him, and now you got pictures, you can see him. But until he's in your midst, Allah tells the angels to touch your heart and say, that's the one. He ain't even touch you. All he has is something about that one. But the attraction is the physical. It's the physical. Because that one could touch your hand and something could come over you. Yeah, this is the one. But you got to listen some more. Because words make a people. You know, Imam Wadisdi Muhammad said, and I'm a student of Imam Wadisdi Muhammad. If you're conning someone, you can't keep up the con. If you're tricking someone, you tricked me the first time, but you can't trick me the second. First time wasn't my fault. I let you get me the second time. That's my fault. So I'm not just talking to the male. This is a two-way street. Two halves are running around. You know how dots dingle in your head? You got to connect those dots in order to get understanding. Well, likewise, you have to have a sense of intuition. Because we all have it. The woman has it more than we do because she has to bear the children. She got to maintain that out. So Allah gives her a gift over top of us. So the other half, and I'm not just saying this, the Alim Elijah Muhammad didn't teach it like that. But he was Simon Says, and Simon said, go, you go. And if you go, and Simon didn't say, you out. So we did everything Alim Elijah Muhammad told us, and what did he tell us? Get married. Provide for your wife. Protect your wife. You know, the angel just said, teach them about that. How do you protect your wife, brother? You got to get me a house. You got to get me a car. You got to put money in my bank account. You got to do, you think that's what Allah said in material substance? No, that's you. Allah didn't say that. Because if Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that, if Allah said that, then why is it that Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, was an orphan? He was unlettered. He knew nothing about religion, nothing about scripture. So he was broke in this world. He had no financial ability. But yet he took a job with Khadija. And Khadija saw his character. Khadija saw, and now what makes this so strange that y'all not listening to, and nor are you reading it, what makes this so strange? Tell me today in the 21st century, in the 21st century, right now, 2020, how is it that an employee will try to marry an employer, especially if she's a woman? Now, there's an exception to the rule, because an employee female would try to get an employer male because it's normal. He dominated. But this one had her own business. This one had her own money. But yet, he went to him. Plus, he couldn't have came to him. Common sense says there's no way he would try to belittle her and he had nothing. But some reason, she saw something in him. And she went to ask him for marriage. And keep in mind, she was married before. She was a widow. She went to him. And who guided her? She thought she guided herself. The angels guided her. That was the will of Allah. And my God, he became the messenger of Allah. Wow. Because he needed a wife, and she needed a husband. And my God, did she not pick the right one? So when he got revelation, read in the name of your Lord that created. Who heard it first? She did. He was trembling. Yeah, that'll shake anybody to come to the knowledge that God sent angels of being to talk to me. Wow, that's amazing. So he's shaking. You know, we got brothers today say, yeah, stick that one finger out and shake it. Why are you shaking? Because that's where the prophet was when he came to La ilaha illallah. Oh, yes, spookism, Bilal didn't shake. That finger represents the African Bilal, but they want to remove it. You know, I have to tell you that. So what happened, brothers and sisters? She said, come see my uncle. Her uncle. Not his uncle. Her uncle. Because his uncle tried to kill him. That's another story. But I'm talking about her uncle. When he told him what he witnessed, he said, you met the angel Jabir. That's Allah. Wow. Oh, they don't talk about this. So now they want to say he's married. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Who married them? It's not written, isn't it? Because it was, it's insignificant. Well, I'm going to tell you. Well, he is the wife, she's the wife of the messenger of God. Who gave her Shahadatayn? Well, man, you can't marry her. You got to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, brothers and sisters, if he's the messenger of God, why would he, forget the wife now, why would he have to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? He didn't know how to say that. But the point is, who married him? Well, I'm going to tell you. Nature. When he entered into her, that was his wife. So you think that's 1,400 years ago? You don't think Moses had a wife? You don't think Abraham didn't have a wife? You don't believe Joseph, Lot? You don't believe they had wives? Didn't I just tell you or ask you a question, why did Allah create the woman, the other half of man? You can't walk this earth as the messenger of God without a woman. And she passed away. And we thank Allah for her, Khadija. She's all in the Revelation. She's in the Quran, Khadija. Some people say, well, she took her Shahadatain. Some people say, well, she was in El-Islam. It wasn't no El-Islam. It wasn't no El-Islam. Allah gave us El-Islam because we was getting off the course with these religions. So he said, I'll create El-Islam, prefer you take on El-Islam as your religion. But the whole matter and what I'm saying to you, marriage is not a piece of paper. And that's what you're looking for, a piece of paper. What you're looking for is money. It wasn't money because he had none. She had all the money. Oh, this ain't the only female. There's a whole lot of them. So Samson wanted Sheba. Sheba, brothers and sisters. But Sheba was wealthy. Sheba ran her army. These stories should teach you something. You have to stop what Satan has got you to believe. But yet your nature tells you different. Ah, that man looked good to me. Yeah, I'll let him hit it. I'll let him get it tonight. Or you just do it dreaming that he might fall in love with you. It got nothing to do with your sex. Your character is everything. Likewise with you, brother. This is why we don't know who's a homosexual, who isn't, because you walk around with no wife. Seems like to me you pull your pants up. So it's dropping your pants is what they do in the prison so they can get them quickie. And these are men. But today they got them dropping their pants. Today they got you not being married. Today they got you all split up. Today they don't want you to have a community. So I humbly say to all of you out there, it's almost like it was said, if you don't have a will, Zor, by the time Asa get in, get you a will. And you know what y'all thought that was? You know what you thought that was, brothers and sisters? The will of man that tells you how to put all your stuff on a piece of paper so your children can benefit or your wife can benefit or you can stop that wife for marrying a man you hated when you're gone and she's going to give you your money. You see how sufferers we are. We're some sufferers individuals. We don't even get insurance. Because why? Because she may take that insurance and give it to somebody else. You're a sick individual. And you think you want to take your money with you. Allah doesn't judge your money, brothers and sisters. He judges your good deeds. He judges your character, your moral decency. Yes, this is the way I talk on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise. Nobody speaks for 7 years. And now we're creating something new. We're creating something new because I finally got my women to come from behind those walls. There's no reason that the Islamic and El-Islam, there's no reason that Islamic sister should be behind a wall. Come on out of there. And today they're going to question me, but I call her my assistant. In this religion, she's my sister, Salima. She earned it. Because why? She was bold. She was aggressive. She's intelligent. And she submits to the will of Allah. Has she been to trial there? Allah tried to, but look. I'm no genius, but she's in paradise right now. And her husband loves her. And she loves her husband. And then she got a sister that your aunt grew up. She grew up under us as a doctor, and she finally decided, I'm going to be with my older sister. She's the oldest, even though I got a doctor degree. But when you hear them speak, the older one is asking a question. And sometimes the younger one intervenes, and the older one says, go right ahead. No, you go. No, no, no. You go right ahead. Respect the knowledge. Respect the knowledge. He realized the topic we talking about, you got more experience. And then calls a doctor sometimes. I hear it. Why? Giving her prop or who she is. You got to understand. You know what I mean? Children Joseph's wife had, I mean Joseph's father had, he was the baby. He's a messenger of God. So here again, Allah ain't talking about numbers here. Who's the first, who's the second? Because Akbar Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, the son, the baby of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, he's deceased. But he didn't bring us to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I just had to got it all, I'm not too far off. The man was next to Akbar, next to Elijah Jr., who is Elijah the second. I believe that's where he was at. So you can't pick who amongst the children is going to be the one. It's Allah's pick. I remember my daughter came. I had children with pretty much my complexion. Not that I'm a racist, but I love a black woman. Oh, Allah, give me a girl. I have so many boys. Give me a girl, Allah. If it's your will, give it to me. But then I ask for more. Make her black like her mama. I don't know. You know, we the Asiatic black man, making the owner the cream of the planet Earth, follow the civilization, God of the universe. And that black doesn't mean the color of one's skin. We was in darkness. And now we come into the light. That's what it all really meant, brothers and sisters. But I believe I had it. My God, did she come out as a female. And she was black like her mother. Don't tell me God ain't great. That's what you want. But I always wanted a doctor in the house. Oh, I always wanted a doctor. Because I respect them. And my daughter got a master's degree, and I said, well, maybe it was you. Yeah, I'm looking for a wife, a doctor. Maybe it's you. Maybe Allah wanted you. Daddy, I got to go back to school. I said, yes, you got to go back to school because she's doing well. She said, okay. Because we need more doctors. We need more. See, the difference is the America is built on education of this world. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, from Moses to Joseph to Lot to Abraham to Jesus to Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet, prayers, peace, upon him, everything in between didn't have no education of this world. Why? Because Allah says if they had, they would took credit. Allah doesn't need man. So they had nothing to do with this society. So they was trained and taught by Allah, the messenger of God. A prophet to us, we can't call them messengers. We can only call them prophets. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of the world, the Lord of all system of knowledge, we openly bear witness that Allah, meaning the one, the God, whichever one you want to choose to say, he has no partners, no associates, no children, no wife. He stands alone. He's one. asks us to acknowledge Prophet Muhammad's prayers, peace be upon him. Why? Because if, in fact, we didn't announce him the way we saying, La ilaha illallah, meaning Allah is one, Muhammad Rasulullah, letting them know he's no partner with God. He's no associate with God. He is not his child. He stands as a community. So, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And my brother, Imam Ramadan, said today, see, I love being around the language, because Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said, when you're around the language, you know you're at home. He said, why y'all put so much emphasis on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we supposed to give it to Allah? He didn't say it that way, but that's the way I say it, but we're saying the same thing. He used the coffin. You put your hand on the coffin, and we say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And a brother saying, no, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. These are the foreigners. And he said the guy was arrogant. But that's the stupidity. Why would we mention the prophet and he is a messenger of God and you're giving credit to the deceased and you're asking Allah to send them to paradise? Why would you have to ask the prophet? But this is what they do to us. You can't difference from one another, so you might as well say, go into Christianity, because they believe Jesus Christ, you go through him first, you'll get to Allah. I have to say that. So we thank Allah for mercy to all humanity. That's not us. That's just us, brothers and sisters. And we salute him. The reason we salute him, because we got prophets we don't even know. One brother came on the air and says 125,000. I don't know that. I ain't questioning. All I know, if I salute Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, I salute all the prophets with one language. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. What do we say? What do we say? Peace and blessings be upon the prophet. That's all of them, brothers and sisters. Every last one of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today I'm going to open up. If you can't accept that woman's your other half and sisters, there's a lot of women that don't have good men. And if you just would study the Quran and look at everyone, the Christians, the Jews, and so do we in Islam, all respect Abraham's wife, Sarah. And Sarah gave her husband to a slave woman because she couldn't bear no children. Now, why did Allah use the children? Why did Allah use an older woman? To send a message to you that God don't lie. He don't fabricate, and nor do he create something the Quran is just for 1,400 years ago. So he says 2, 3, or 4. The reason you don't like it, because in your mind, it's sex. There's a lot of women can't have sex, but they're a woman. They're human. But if they had a man in their life, they'll be peaceful in this world to get to the hereafter. But she's selfish. You don't want that. Knowing your husband is a good man, but you don't want that. And because Satan got you hung up in this world as if it's going to be here forever. No, we're struggling. His job is to trick you, con you, and deceive you. You know, and he's right there. You don't know that's it. You turn on, you turn off. You turn on, you turn off. And anything that's off, that's Satan. But we can't help you with that. You can't help me with my gen. I can't help you with your gen. But it's your trial to get to the hereafter. That's my humble opinion. I'm going to open up the questions out there, and I ask Allah to guide my tongue, and I ask Allah to allow my personal feelings to get involved in emotions or things that I may not like that you may ask me. But if, in fact, anything on your mind, I don't care what it is, I'm going to try to answer it. And I say, Bismillah. Sometimes you don't hear me say it out loud. And I don't have to talk to God out loud. He knows my thoughts before I even think it. That's how close you should understand your Lord. But this program is to allow people that never could question the Imam. Why not? Even your school teacher questions you. Your professor questions you. Your boss questions you. And your mother and your father will question you. And if you don't give the right answer, they say, that boy need to go back and learn some more because he's stuck on stupid. He don't want to learn. So you have to learn all the way to your grave, according to Allah. From the cradle to the grave, and not the cradle as that little boy, little girl, only 1 month old. What cradle would Allah ask you? He's talking about your intellectual mind is in a cradle. In order to get out of that cradle is to be able to search for knowledge. And when you search for knowledge all the way to your grave, meaning you will never learn the ending of God's knowledge and wisdom. Never. That's why we have to go to the next world, because there's going to be some more you're going to be taught. Then there's another world. You're going to be. It goes on. Doesn't stop. There's no beginning and no ending with Allah. Salima, are you out there, my beautiful niece, my assistant? If so, I'd like to hear your voice.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, beautiful. Salima, I want to tell you, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm a promoter, and I can promote anything insignificant. But I had nothing to do with this. I don't control the people around this country or outside this country. But for them to call and send texts and send messages to me saying what your sister and you have done is unbelievable. When will they be back again? So it's almost like you became a hit overnight. And don't feel like you don't deserve it. In your mother's womb, you and your sister was written to do what you are doing today. You just fulfill it. Tell me what's on your mind, my beautiful niece.
Yes, sir. We're so in tune again. I was reading Quran. I said, you know, I really would love Uncle Murad to answer this question. I actually have two thoughts today. The first question, in Al-Islam, explain who the Queen of Sheba was and how she came to accept Allah.
Whoa. Are you telling me that I brought up Sheba and this is what you had on your mind yesterday for today?
Yes, sir.
So we don't take up much time, but I would like to do Sheba and make her my whole, in other words, if there's 20 of you out there, there'll be 20 people asking about Sheba. Well, allow me to tell you about Sheba. See, in order for you to really know Sheba, you got to know Solomon. Did I say Samson? I meant Solomon, but I'm human. I can make mistakes. I think someone said I said Solomon can talk to the ants. If you read in the Quran, he was riding his horse, and he stopped the whole caravan behind him and said, hold it. He said, go ahead, aunt. get in your habitat. That was showing you the gift that God gave him. But he also can talk to the jinn, because it was the jinn that whispered in his ear, and the jinn told him that I can get Sheba for you. And he knew what that meant. The jinn had ability to come any form or fashion. So he can trick you and deceive you to go with Solomon. He told the jinn, no, I don't want you to do that. He had the angel. He can talk to the angel. So the angel, Solomon said, I understand. I'm using this for a metaphor. I understand you're going to go and take Eliel's life. But he loved Eliel. He said, give him some time. Give him another year. Because he was close to the angels. So it goes on to say that Eliel was sitting there and a guy in all white came. Now, some people say it was the prophet. Well, okay. No prophet is over another prophet. It was Solomon. So he looked at the man, and the man turned his head with the white sheet on. And he turned back and looked at him again. He looked at him, and the man turned his head. And he looked at him again, because his angel looked like a man. And he walked off. So he said, Solomon, who is that? He said, that's the death angel. He said, the death angel? Yes. He said, well, I'm getting out of here. Now, I'm using another metaphor. So he left part of the world and he went to England. So an angel came back, said, Solomon, he said, where's your friend? He said, oh, he went on the other side of the world. He's in England. He said, good, because that's where I was supposed to take his life. I mean, you can't escape the angels. But Solomon wanted to do it. He wasn't waiting no year. Allah gave permission. And when he gives that permission, you can't bathe, you can't hide, you can't cry. They only do the will of God. Time for you to leave. So now Solomon was trying to court Sheba. But Sheba was powerful. Sheba didn't really like Solomon. She felt she didn't need Solomon. Now, don't ask me a question, who was her husband and who is this. I talked about her. But Sheba was so bad that Solomon had 950 wives. What do he want with Sheba? Now, the reason I want to go into all of this, because I almost gave you some of it, but I didn't tell you those wives was women of the community. You're supposed to treat them like wives. You ain't go through 950 wives. And you can't do that. They got green pill, red pill, blue pill. I don't care what kind of pill you take today. You cannot have 950 wives. So that was the community. So that's one. But he needed a wife. And Sheba came to his castle. And she walked over a glass floor. But a skirt went up. And when a skirt went up, he saw her legs that make any decent woman feel ashamed. But guess what? Sheba did not feel ashamed. I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to end it with this. Why? She was not ashamed of a righteous man. So that was her intuition. That was her intuitive. That she was in his presence and she showed her shame, but she didn't feel shameful because he was a righteous man. So you brought Sheba up and Sheba connects the dot. I've been telling you, it has nothing to do with no watching someone on Zoom or FaceTime or send him a letter. He sent you a letter. No, if you're not in his presence, you'll never know who that man is. And yes, she fell in love with Solomon. That's my humble opinion. What else, dear?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question pertains to the essence of communication with our youth. And I will start off with a story. As an educator, I delivered various types of instruction. And this one particular day, the students in the classroom, they were just not eager or motivated to engage in the subject matter. So before starting the instruction, I said to the students, okay, tell me what's going on. And two students started telling their stories, and one young lady, and these are advanced gifted students. They get straight A's. They're involved in all types of sports, community organizations, et cetera, et cetera. So the one young lady opened up tremendously, and she said, Ms. Muhammad, I'm depressed. And I said, why are you depressed? And she's sharing this in the entire classroom. There's about 29 kids in the class. She said, I'm getting tired of going home to an empty house. I said, would you please elaborate on that? She said, I'm in the swim club. I ride horses. I have straight A's. But every night I go home, the house is empty. I said, if you don't mind sharing why. She said, because my parents work until the wee hours of the morning outside of the home. So the next student started speaking and explained the same thing. And I said, okay, this is your homework. Before we even get started, this is your homework. Go home and explain to your parents how you feel. So they went home and they explained the story to the parents. So the next day, and this, I chuckled because the young lady was a tall girl. She was about 5'11". She was a big girl. And she came and she ran and she just towered over me and she started hugging me. And I said, well, you're happy today. And she said, yes, ma'am, Ms. Muhammad. I said, well, let's talk about what. Why are you happy today? I said, this is a 365-degree term from yesterday. And she said, yes, ma'am. So she began to explain that she spoke to her parents. And this particular student, the parent says, oh, my goodness, I didn't know you needed me anymore. And she said, Mom, what do you mean? She was talking to her mother and her father. What do you mean I didn't need you? Well, you're busy. She says, Mom, I need communication. I need a hug. I need to be able to tell you about my day, et cetera, et cetera. So I suggested to the students, along with speaking to their parents, suggest to have dinner at least one night a week. So the first student says, Ms. Muhammad, my mother says she is going to cook dinner every night, 7 days a week. And the mother actually did it. And some of the other students, the parents had dinner with them at least one night a week or twice a week. So the importance of communicating to our youngsters is imperative. And sometimes without that communication, we don't know what they're going through. So those are my thoughts and my question to you. What are your thoughts on that?
There's a little guy that I know of. And he had four siblings. And he didn't have a father, but he had a mother. But he loved his mother so well that he wanted to stay up under her. There's nothing she could do wrong. But he went to school. For the first time, he would run out in the line and cry. She said, "What's wrong? I don't want to leave you, mother." So he got back in line. Then he ran out of line again. "I don't want to leave you, mother." But she's sitting there with the young one, younger than him. And I know she didn't know what to say because that person was going into kindergarten. But he realized in school, no one could reach him. And so he was rebelling. He would bring F's home, F's home, F's home, F home, because he didn't want to be there. I don't know. The guy said he made it, stayed back once, but he made it to the eighth grade. But he made it to eighth grade because he was hearing, he said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that kept his mind, but he still didn't have no connection. Make a long story short, he went to the eighth grade to smack the school teacher. Why? Because the school teacher wasn't teaching him nothing, and she was getting on his nerves. For some reason, that school teacher said all the good things that turned that little boy around. And the reason he was turned around is because he finally saw a second mother. He saw a mother that he can touch, he can feel, he can talk to. And all of a sudden, that little boy started getting A's and B's. Who is that little boy? That was me. And I learned growing up, and I say to these teachers, because I teach in all these schools, they say, "How do you have these children in a pot in your hand? How are you able to instill in them that we can't do?" One time, I was up in Connecticut, and I spoke. And the guy wanted me to walk around and see this beautiful building that was built by African American. I was so impressed. And I walked into it. I said, what room is this?" He said, "That's where all the bad kids are." And they were sitting like up on a hill. And I walked in and I said, "Do you know who I am?" And I started talking to him and talking to him and talking to him and talking to him. I had him clapping. I had him cheering. I had him so. I walked out, and here he comes. Excuse me. "What college did you graduate from? Who taught you that?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "That's the worst class in this whole school with 900 students. I said, "I was one of them. I know what they want. They want you to communicate. They want you to love them. They want you to tell them everything you can be. You got to tell that little girl how pretty she is, how gorgeous she is. That's a female. These are little women in this baby body, but soon to be our future. So you told them right. You have to communicate." The best thing I did, Selena, the best thing I did, I took my kids to Florida, to Pensacola. Nothing in Pensacola. You want to see trouble? Here come the fire truck. Here come the police officer. A cat went up the tree and got stuck. A white belt, they call it the Christian belt. But my children, I was punishing my son. I thought I was. He said, "Dad, your punishment don't work. Because you keep me from going outside." I'm saying in my mind, he's right. He said, "But my friends are right here in the hole. Your punishment don't work." I was shocked. But he was real. But he was saying, "You're doing the right thing because we are one family." Every party, I remember my wife saying, "I'm angry with the children." Why? I said, "Your father ain't coming home for 3 weeks, but your birthday is tomorrow. We'll wait for him. I said, dear, you don't take them to Toys R Us. You don't let them buy this. You don't let them do that. They go to the movie. They get one bucket. I give them all their own little bucket. I give them all their own. So that's daddy. Daddy, they wrestle with me, jump on my back when they're little children, 2 years old. I wouldn't move. Well, I know why the prophet stayed in Ruku so long, because he didn't want to hurt his baby. Went down to Saja. He wouldn't come up. And thought he was going to hurt his baby. But they thought it meant, oh, you got to stay down there and beg Allah. No. It had nothing to do with that. It had something to let the babies play with you while you pray. And because of that, out of all them children, 80% of them came to prayer at 4 years old. Now, the other ones came a little late, but it was no more than 5 years old. And they was fasting. My little boy, I said, look, now, you cannot eat anything unless you can read it. He was only in the third grade. He'd come home and say, daddy, mommy, I didn't eat it. I said, what you didn't eat? It didn't have no writing. I said, what is it? My ice cream. What ice cream? I opened up his book bag with ice cream cone. The stuff melted. I mean, I just said, look how you can teach these children while they're young. He would not touch it because he couldn't read the ingredients. That's what's needed in these schools. It is designed for the parents to work late and don't communicate with their children because the children go to an empty spot. Now, that little boy named me, that little boy, as my eldest. My two older people, they would throw shoes at me. They would try to beat me. I am not going to sleep until mama come home. I don't know. I tell you some things will make you laugh. I said, mama, now there's no man in here. Who you having sex with? You had sex in the car or in the home? Boy, you better shut up. I said, because my mama could not stay out at night. I wasn't sleeping until, mama, and you better have that door latch on. And when I hear her voice, I can go sleep now. Mama's home. So them teachers, and I teach this in school, I said, number one is Allah. You have to trust there's a Lord. Number two is your mama. Number three is your father. Number four is that school teacher. It's called kindergarten. We plant the seeds, we parents. In the kin, you got to garden it. You got to cultivate it so they can grow. So the teacher's important. Some of them come into the worst, despicable place, bullets of fire. They sacrifice their life to teach you. You don't know who's number five? You. And the children go crazy. They thank me. I get letters from them. And the teachers say, Mr. Muhammad, you taught that so well, they respect me now. So you did right. Communication is everything. That's my humble opinion. Ah, that brought love in my heart when you told me about those children. Children is my weakness. I got so many children that call me father, and I'm not their biological father, but I was a father to them. And that's what I wanted to do. I love children. I'll do anything for our children. Working on the deal right now. So that's my humble opinion. Sabad, are you out there?
Yeah, Assalamu alaikum, Marat.
Great song. You didn't know that was your brother, did you?
I knew it was you. It was Miss Johnson. He turned you around. But
you brought me up as a little boy.
Yeah. I just want to
say my mind was empty. My heart was empty. The projects, I was out busting out the projects. I wanted to grow.
I was with you when we went back to that school in 81 when we talked to the kids in 81. Miss Johnson. We saw Miss Johnson and Miss Krieger.
Oh, Miss Johnson.
To give back. Maybe you and Joe went back to Dayton Street. But I want to say to Salima, what a great show that was last Saturday. And I got a lot out of that show. She asked her sisters some great questions. Now, I know her father. You know that, Marat. Her father, she was a little girl, but I knew her father because y'all was in business with Stick and Take on 7th Avenue.
Yeah, you worked for
the president of, and I was, man, I worked. And he also was the president of Triangle Productions with him, you, and three other brothers. So I was around. I do a lot. But the mother, Assalamu alaikum, alaykum salam, that was it. But that show last Saturday, she got me to know her mother. A lot of things, when they spoke about their mother, a lot of things I didn't know. It's like if now I know the mother. But the show was so beautiful. There's a lady on the phone. She's kind of shy. She probably won't talk. If she could just say how she loved the show, I appreciate it. But she's also in the field. Her name is Belinda, my lady. She's in the field of medical. And she also said how nice the show was. You want to tell her, Belinda, how nice her show was? Are you there? Maybe she's not on. I don't think she's on.
She's on. I heard her name.
She's shy. But she said, wow, Samad, that show was nice. I learned a lot of things from that show that I didn't know. It was a good show for people to listen to, not just in the medical field, but if you want to learn. Want to learn about things, that's the show to learn some things. But my question is, Marat, today is 9-11, and 9-11, some people say the Arabs went into the buildings with the plane. Some people say that that's not the reason why them buildings went down. They had bombs at the bottom of the buildings, that it wasn't the Arabs. But what happened to me, you know, we used to do fights in California and Vegas and Mississippi. And I would fly with my nephews, Kareem Ali and Rashid Muhammad. And I'm looking for them. Where y'all at? Well, 1 hour, hour and a half. Where was y'all at? Man, they had me in this room. That long for what? Man, they must have thought I was a terrorist. My name. They kept questioning me about my name. They kept going through my name. And you was going to have my name changed from Eric Lear to Samad Muhammad. And I said, man, you the lawyers upstairs, you was going to change my name. I said, I'll wait for that one. Because I would go through like it wasn't nothing. But because of their names, they was held up. Every time there was a fight, they was held up because of their names. So tell me about 9-11, Marat. What do you think about 9-11? What went down? And if you could share about 9-11, what you think on that subject?
Well, it's a good subject to bring up. And again, you know, I can be as long as I want to be, but I don't like to waste nobody's time. You know, Imam Wallace Muhammad, a student of Imam Wallace Muhammad, and he used to teach, man, and he would teach for hours, and a lot of people didn't understand him. I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted more. And he knew that we was not understanding who we are and what's going on. But he did a wonderful job, may Allah be pleased, on Grand Paradise. It was time for him to leave. He left him being in his jacuzzi. Some people said, you're going to have to wash that body down. But he did all he had to do. It's now time for us to stand on our 2 feet. There's no leaders over us. Our leader is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and surely Allah swamped Allah is the God. But what happened in 9-11 was to create a detour for the powers to be to get rich. And the only reason I can say that today, I assume something went wrong because there's no person can come here in America or a person here in America is that skillful to fly a plane and then aim it to a building unless you are expert. and no expert is going to run into no building and kill himself. So today they found out it was remote control. Makes a lot of sense to me. But no way that building, if they found out, was built so strong that no 747 could take it down. You can't take a building down. You might can burn a couple of floors. But they found out the building was blown from the bottom with explosion. And the people that knew that don't talk no more. Were they alive? We don't know. Then they said there was some Jews jumping up and down in Jersey City as if they knew that this was going to happen. They blame it on what? On the Arabs. Then they found a license to certify it. Come on, how could a piece of paper license be in a fire like that and you found it? To blame it on what? Bin Laden. Then they found out that Bin Laden on the month before was in the hospital because he had a kidney problem and they had to change his kidney, so he couldn't have done it. But they won't tell you that. Then the science that cut that steel was made in on the army, and they used it. And when they used it, they found out that most of that stuff, I can't think of the name, it don't slip my recollection, but that stuff cut through iron, and that's what brought it down. Where is it? They got it out of here. They got it out of here. They took it to another country. All that soot, they got it out of here. Then they want to know, how did this rich man decide to pay a great deal of money for those towers 6 months before it happened? And how is it that most of the Jews didn't come to work? Well, it's been told today, on the day of 9/11, that if there was 100 people was supposed to meet at those buildings, 50 of them didn't come. Why? They was given another place to go to. They just found that out. Because they didn't give a damn about the other 50 that died. They didn't give a damn about the people that died in that 9/11. But the substance that killed them has an after effect. So whoever was around that building has got some kind of sickness today. That's how bad that stuff was. But they had to blame it on Bin Laden, even though Bin Laden don't have this kind of sophistication, so you would never think it's America. So now America's on high watch. Money. Planes. Money. Bombs. Money. All these wars. Money. Who are you looking for? I'm looking for Gaddafi. I'm looking for this one. I'm looking for that. And killing people all over the world. This is 9/11. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if they will kill Kennedy and blame it on someone else, and it was the CIA was right behind them, that's why they found the bullet came up. So there's no way it came across or down. It came up. If they will kill Dr. King, and Malcolm, my God, you want to blame it on the Muslims that followed out of Elijah Muhammad? No, that was a setup to give you, to make you think it was we who followed out of Elijah Muhammad. What will we kill you for? Malcolm was a good guy. Well, he went against, no, brother, they didn't want Malcolm to go on his own and be a hinder to the powers to be. If all this happened, they can tell the top man of the Black Panther, hey, I'm going to let you escape. How are you going to escape? You going to run through the yard and get out. He ran through the yard, and they shot him in the head. They said, well, he had no gun. Yeah, he had it in his afro. Come on, man. This is some crazy stuff. But that's because we are individuals. The young lady you talked about, Melinda, she know I got great love for her. She comes on this air, she says what she wants. She's very intelligent. She's an Eastern Star. But the Eastern Star was separated from the MGT. The MGT and the Eastern Stars were separated from the Catholic people or the Jehovah Witnesses. This is what they do. They separate us. So here is that you have Masons that has to understand but read the same book that we have called the Quran in order to get their 33 and agree. But we ain't together. So they've been dividing us, divide and conquer, to make us go through all different directions. And yet, we the only one paying the price. So they said the other day, the children of the white folks gets at least $20,000 when they go into school. How much do the minority of black people get? Zero. The average child should own their own house for at least $250,000. How many homes do we own? Nothing. And ones we do have, they take it from us. We don't wake up. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, this is the beginning. Melinda that has a love for Salima and her sister, they ain't in Al-Islam. They like Christianity. But because you talk about the care of the home for your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, for your children, you got that nature. When you talk about coming together because someone will just shoot your child, well, hell, there's 5 million of us. We are with you. Oh, you touch that nature. When you're protecting their sacred things because nobody's going to run in and just shoot our little girls because they're in Catholic Church or they're in a Jehovah Witness Church. This is how they got us separated by religion. You have a right to believe in whatever you would like to believe. All my mama's children didn't believe the same way. No. But we love each other. We never questioned each one's religion. We might have conversation. Now they want you not to be with Minister Louis Farrakhan, but I'm a free man in the city. I love Minister Farrakhan. That's my brother. And yes, I ain't never left being an FOI. That's what taught me. Ain't no inferior complex. Most of them are spineless. And none of them is producing. But look at Minister Farrakhan. If I don't care what you say. What he's doing, if it was 10 more like him, whoa. Look what I'm doing. It was 10 more like us. Whoa, put them 20 together, them 20 fearless people. We wouldn't have to beg them for nothing, Samad. We got to cut this out. We don't want to get along to be along. We want to be by ourselves, so they pick us off one by one. That's why these brothers are getting killed. And yes, but there's no repercussion. And the only way you're going to get repercussions is to go to your sheriff department. Keep in mind, go study. Whether you are a marshal, whether you are a state trooper, whether you are CIA, FBI, you belong to the county. You belong to the state. You belong to the government. But that sheriff in your cities, in your state, that's who you should talk to. Because he's the only one that gets in the office by the community. And he has the right to say, listen, it's in the law, CIA, FBI, state trooper, you ain't coming in my city. Because my city is the people who put me in office, and I will protect them. That's the law. They can't touch the sheriff department. And that's why the sheriff department throughout this whole damn country is one. But we don't go to them. They got to come to us. They serve us. And they have a right to say, you can't do that. That's how bad the sheriff department, they won't tell you that. They come in, kick doors in. The only way they can kick a door in, the sheriff department allows them. Now they go over their head. but they got to go into court and sue them. Yeah, this is all on tape. They can sue them. You don't come in there thinking you're going to disturb my city. Why? Because the people put in them. You got emails that is like the police department. You got emails that is like the state troopers. And believe me, Samar, I have nothing. I brought the bulletproof vest for the state troopers. I paid money for the widows that lost their life in the line of duty. Tell me what state troopers, tell me what organization have done that. I'm talking as the follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with, the student of Imam Wadi Muhammad, the brother of Ms. Farrakhan wrote that check for those women, wrote that check for the victim program. Why? Because we believe in the next human being. You don't have to say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You don't even got to believe in God. I ain't here to judge you, but you're human. And I think that's what they're seeing today. And it's our time to come together collectively. On the 18th, one of the closest things you will find to Imam Wadi Muhammad will be in Paterson, New Jersey. Now, Ramadan came in on short notice. Why? Because he a capital M-A-N. I'm saying to you, Salman, y'all go into the library, and I think next Friday, I'm going to have where you go to find out everything I just said to you. If you go to WBAI and you put in today's show, I don't care which one it is, they talking about 9/11, you'll find it in the library. And you can listen for yourself, and they'll give you all the names of who has done all of this. But it wasn't no Arabs. And that's so they can write that check. How can $4 trillion leave our country and nobody knows how they left? Because we sleep. And you got people that say they look like us, and around there, they get paid off. The others, they get paid some odd, maybe 4 million, 5 million, but yet they take trees. we sick. That's my humble opinion. Y'all got some great questions because y'all got me tonight. What's your next one?
Okay, Maron. My next question is about Black and African American. Now, I prefer to be called Black. When I was a kid, you look at my birth certificate, you see colored. But I heard Black, first time I heard Black was from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Second time I heard Black was when James Brown came out with the song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. So we on a conference call, and we talking about Black and African American, and they said, oh, I'd rather be African American. I use your phrase. I said, well, we got brought over here on a slave ship. They ain't send no rescue squad to come get us. I'm Black. So my question to you, Murat, you're the president of your corporation. You got an application, and it says Latino, white, Asian. Did your other one be African-American on your application or Black? What do you prefer to be called?
I said neither one. And I always wrote human being. You don't have to answer that, but let's deal with it. You've never been to Africa. I have. And they burnt Africa out of us so bad that the weather I didn't agree with it. 120 degrees, man. I couldn't take it. The water gave me diarrhea, so I didn't like the water. And the food wasn't too good to me. So I can't be an African. They burnt it out of us for 400 years. And as you said, not one of them went to look for us that was kidnapped. However, I can't erase the fact that most of us came from a country called Niger. And everybody from Niger was very educated. That's why when we came over here, we built this country with science. We built this country as being developers. We built this country as being carpenters and electricians. We built this country with our creativity, even though they stole it, because these people over here came from North America. They was deaf, dumb, and blind. They were savages while they was ran out of Europe. They didn't know how to take baths. So we gave them all of this, even though we was their slaves. The only way they knew cooked food was like the fire you see going on in California. The animals got burnt up, and they went behind it and ate it and said, whoa, this tastes good. And that's why they started cooking their food on fire. And this is a true story. But we don't know how barbaric they were. But because they was human beings, and because we came here to help them, Allah gave them the ability to raise up from being that savage and look at the country today. So you got to give them credit, even though they robbed us and they did so and so and et cetera. So Imam Walid Muhammad tried to call us Bilalian. It didn't stick. And so when he said African America, the reason it stuck because we are from Africa, but we are American. We don't know nothing else. Stick us in Europe, you're going to lose us. Stick us in Asia, you're going to lose us. Bring us back to Africa, you can't wait to get back here. So we are American, so we are African American. But when they ask me, and I'm coming to my country, I would say African American. I don't want no trouble. But I look like an Asian. I look like an Arab. That's why I wear the hats I wear, the suits I wear. I want my own identity. Don't put no kufi on me and got me in handcuffs and think I'm a suicide bomber. They ain't teach us that. We don't know how to be suicide bombers. We don't know how to make bombs. And we don't just kill people. Because we wanted to kill people, all the slave masters that took our ancestors, your children should be dead. But Allah removed it from our heart. Not one of y'all that's listening to me is thinking about killing a white person. Well, I can do that. Our grandma was white. Our grandma was Jewish. I thought I was all confused. And our father's a native Indian. Native, not from India. Right here. Born on the Indian reservation. So our grandpa, so who are we? When I found the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the gift from the Imam Walid bin Muhammad, I found out who I was. Who are you, Murad? I'm an upright human being. When you come to that knowledge, when you come to that knowledge, Samad, you can conquer the world. What nationality was Adam, our original father? What nationality was Abraham? What nationality was Muhammad the prophet, the seal of the prophet? What nationality was Jesus? They're going to make them all different nationality to get you. But Allah didn't talk about nationality. He said, we're one ummah. You be in the desert, you be in Africa, you black. You black. You be in Europe, you white. There's no sun there. Go to North Pole, there's no sun. So the color of your skin comes from the sun. But we all human beings. All right, some crazy, some off their hook, some egotistic maniacs, and some are just lazy, don't want stuff in our life. But we human beings. That's my humble opinion. Anything else? Anything else, Samad? Well, brothers and sisters, anyone else out there? I sent out many texts, and I'll give you 5 seconds if you want to interrupt. You can just take your phone off of mute, 6, and you can ask me a question. You don't have to.
Assalamu alaikum.
What I got, Islam?
Assalamualaikum. This is Salima again. I didn't want to interrupt before, but I just wanted to thank Samad for his kind remarks, and I am so pleased for the feedback excited about the ongoing show, but I really appreciated those comments. And I thank you for taking your time to express how you and others felt about the show. Your friend Belinda, I so appreciate you all. I humbly thank you. All praise is due to Allah.
Tell us what your show is going to be tomorrow.
The show tomorrow is Family Life, and it is entitled, I have a guest, Margaret Johnson Hodge, who's a national best-selling author, and we have so much to share. It's going to be magical. So we're looking forward to it.
You know, you tell that young lady that I would create a school for her to teach our students how to write, and she don't have to start from college. She can start from grammar school. Them children can write. And what I was saying to Minister Louis Farrakhan, I always prayed that he would be in good shape. I said, we can make our own bestsellers. We can make our own publisher companies. And people will buy because there will be millions of us buying these books. We should have the library of our children, the library of women like herself. And if we make millionaires and billionaires, we don't have to beg nobody for anything. Now, what does her book cost? Well, I'll use a figure. Say it costs $20.
You're helping people around the world communicate for free. Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
I don't know who's trying to come on, but there's, I think
I can
hear you.
Please re-enter your access code followed by the pound.
Okay, I think that's over with. So you there, Salima?
I am here.
We want to take people like herself. This is simple. When you got a bestseller, that means that's a million books. When you got a bestseller, the publishing company, because we don't have publishing companies, they spit out the books. That goes to all of the book companies around the world. When they find out you did a million, they all want you. So we just made a multi-millionaire. We're saying to us as a community, if we buy your books and make you rich, you donate whatever you want to donate. That's your money. But the companies around the world get you because we put you in that position. You give us a percent. So we got, say, 100 bestsellers because we made a bestseller overnight. So you don't have to look for it. No one has to look for it. We brought a million books. This is all, it only cost you $20. This is because we are collecting now. It's not for us to keep it for ourselves. It's for us to have our own bank operating our own money, and we build in with where the worst part of the state or the country is where we build. So if we put $1 billion in that state, now we go to another state, then we go to another state, then we go to another state. This is simple. This is easy. It ain't just writing. It's producing. It's doing your own movie. It's doing your own product. Our creation was raw. I'm going to do a story on that. How many African Americans done did so much and they stole it from us and don't even give us credit for doing it. So, that's history. What about the creator of these young kids that's growing up? We can get them out of the streets. Look what Walt Disney did. Walt Disney put the whole NBA championship there. Good. I like that. But what about the people that didn't go to the title? We can put them in our building. And because we got 3 million going to turn them on, that's ratings. That's $1 billion. And yet our children are playing, but we pay them. You put them in their own corporation. Why? Because you came up with the idea at 9 years old. Now you got a corporation. There's 3 million of us in that corporation. I mean, this is so simple, and they don't want that. Y'all think the president of the United States, whoever get in there, he does not control the masses of the people. You see what's happening now. I don't care who you are, unless you sick the Marines and the Navy and the Army on them, what's going to happen, the mother's going to pull back. The father's going to pull back and say, oh, that's what you do, and find your own new Army and Marines and National Guards. And that's why one police officer said, I don't want to be a part of it. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Because everybody ain't going to let you just shoot their baby. They now want to stick you with needles. They're trying to get up a new virus. Come on, brothers and sisters. To go for that, you have to be out your mind. You say, yeah, but they won't let my child go to school unless I get create your own schools. What, we dummies or something? Create your own school. All these schools are closing down. Good. I want them. Give them to me. We don't have to do nothing on the outside. Let's just gut the inside because our children is on the slum, no paint, no water. They have everything is so old. You think this just happened? It's designed because they're afraid that y'all are going to take over the world. They're scared of this black man and woman. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt any one of you out there, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. That was not my intention. If I said anything that's incorrect, subhanAllah. Allah is the best knower. We make mistakes. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, the picture of the nature in which you was created, stand up in your obedience to God, your conscience of God, your belief in God, your faith in God. Believe in that. That's your taqwa. That's what gets you into paradise. But don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorify his name. And I greet you for Adam, our biological father, from our father of all nationalities and of all human beings. Who is he? Abraham. Abraham, whichever one you choose to pick, that's he who he is. And we greet you from our brother Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. He submits to the word of God. And we thank you. We thank Muhammad, the prophet, the seal of the prophet of 1,400 years ago. We salute him with the excellent salute. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessings be upon you. And I greet you from the Arabic language from the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Tune in tomorrow from 7 to 8:45. Salimah Adira will be on, Dr. Adira will be on, and she gave you what she's supposed to have given you. And y'all going to hear some powerful women speaking about things that will help you right now today in your home, inshallah. And hopefully they can reach back and bring me some more because I want to put a lot of females on the air. I'm willing to do that. And Allah SWT will show me a way of how to get it done. It's called communication. We say, oh, Allah, bless you all that got this virus. May Allah lift that burden. And all of you who's trying to help those who need help, may Allah guarantee you barakah, blessings, paradise. And those who passed away, we say, oh, Allah, separate their faults from their goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant them jannah. Thank you. May God be with you. Peace and love.